Anyone want to buy some electronics? Anyone?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. Sony makes those thin, flat-screen TVs, but this next number looks bad in any resolution, $1 billion. Today, the Japanese company said it lost that much money in the last fiscal year. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
It's Sony's first annual loss since 1995. But its products have already been losing ground for years. The one-time portable music king first got bonked on the head by Apple's iPod. Then Sony's PlayStation 3 undersold Nintendo's Wii by half. Now its TV sales stand second to Samsung. Sony blames its losses on the global economy and on a stronger yen, which jacks up the price of every Japanese export. The company thinks next year will get even worse, as in losses of more than $1 billion. CEO Howard Stringer has ordered cost-cutting. Sony is losing 16,000 workers, several factories, and it may outsource TV making to China. But even if all that works seamlessly, some think the real issue is innovation. What Sony's missing is a must-have product. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Sanyo seems to be missing that as well. That company reported this morning it lost almost $1 billion as well last fiscal year. You might soon drive a car that says made in China. General Motors is reportedly telling Congress it plans to import cars from China beginning in 2011. That's according to Automotive News. The government has loaned GM billions of dollars in order to save American jobs. Importing cars from China might not be what lawmakers had in mind. People are not driving their cars like they used to. This morning, the International Energy Agency once again lowered its forecast for global oil demand. So how come gas is still well above $2 a gallon? Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
There's a lot of oil sitting around right now, just waiting to be refined. Oil analyst Tom Closes says inventories may have fluctuated recently, but...
You know, the recession in the U.S. and globally is still making for very, very sloppy and very well-supplied oil market.
Sloppy because there's more crude coming out of the ground than consumers are buying. But that doesn't mean gasoline prices will drop. Mark Wagner of XL Futures says refineries are cutting back on the amount of gas they pump out.
We believe they're trying to drive the price of the finished products higher.
But Tom Closes says refineries aren't to blame because they're just trying to recoup costs.
Whether you think an industry is populated by sons of Satan or whatever, you know, no business can really take a finished product and sell it for less than the raw feed.
And Closes says gasoline probably won't increase very much until the economy improves. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Crude oil prices had risen above $60 a barrel this week, but with recession fears flaring again, a barrel of crude is back at $57. Those recession fears showed up on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow lost 184 points and closed at 8,284. Asian markets continued the sell-off today, losing about 3%. European markets are moderately lower. One thing weighing on stocks is the continued housing slump that's hurting people's ability to spend. Later today, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is expected to announce new measures to help people avoid foreclosure. One way is to encourage a short sale, where the home is sold for less than what's owed on the mortgage, but the lender considers the debt paid off. That's better for your credit score than a foreclosure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
In good times and bad, Americans have told themselves this is the land of opportunity, social mobility. With your hard work and your pluck, a poor person can achieve the American dream. This week, we're bringing you a series called Next American Dream, and we're getting an international perspective. Alan Milburn is a member of the British Parliament. He advises the Prime Minister on Britain's growing gap between rich and poor. Mr. Milburn, what's the reason for that gap?
I think what's happened is that more people have been able to get onto the ladder to prosperity, But because, if you like, there's a bit of a two-tier labor market now, and at the bottom end, it's so much harder for people to get onto the ladder out of adversity, you've had a growing gap.
What are some reasons for this, the difficulty that you call it the lower tier is having?
Well, if I take something like getting a job in the professions, becoming a lawyer or a doctor or working in the media or heaven help us, becoming a politician, a lot of these professions have become more and not less socially exclusive over recent years. So we've just published some data which indicates that nowadays, to become a doctor or a lawyer, the chances are that you come from a family with far higher incomes on average than the average family. And that's a big change from certainly when I grew up. There were more people from average income families, what President Clinton once famously called the forgotten middle class, who were producing future generations of doctors and lawyers. Nowadays, it tends to be a bit more self-perpetuating, that if you're born into wealth, you keep wealth. If you're born into poverty, very often, unfortunately, you stay in poverty.
In the States, we expect social mobility to just happen in the free market. We don't have a social mobility advisor. How do you see the government role as different from what the private sector can do?
In the end, the government's job, it seems to me, in any country, is to make sure that the economy works in the interests of the majority and not the minority, and is to make sure that if people have aspirations and abilities and aptitudes, they're given the opportunity to realize their own aspirations to progress.
Member of Parliament Alan Milburn, thank you.
Pleasure.
You can participate in our Next American Dream series by visiting us online at marketplace.org. You'll find interviews, reporters' notebooks, audio slideshows, and we want to know, what is your take on the next American dream? That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.